Well, the toughest part is getting started, isn't it? I guess the best method is just to do it. And so here it is, the very first installment. No bells and whistles, no format, no set time. Very likely, though, it will be released on a set day of the week, but International Detective Dragons from Outer Space, Episode 1, and thank you for listening. I'm Adam 5. Where did that come from? About 1,000 PC years ago, there was a computer called an Amiga. And I used to do a lot of animation on the Amiga. And somewhere in the back of my tiny little brain, it tells me that there was a format, an animation format, in one of the programs I was using called Anim 5. I liked it. I held on to it. I used it as a name. I even set up my very first website with the domain name of Anim 5, which of course you can visit at www.anim5.com. You won't find anything for sale there. Actually, no, that's not true. But it's not a website for generating cash. I'd probably be a lot smarter if it was. Well, the one item that is for sale there is novel. I certainly wouldn't be disappointed if you decided to buy it, but it's very bad form to start off your very first installment with a commercial plug. So that's not a commercial plug, that's just a statement of fact. There is one item for sale through that website. But all the rest of it, and it's a good item, by the way, all the rest of it is what I refer to as my refrigerator. I don't keep food in it. I don't keep frozen items in it. I mean the outside of the refrigerator. In your average typical home, if you got a little kid that does a crayon drawing or a water painting or a watercolor, finger painting, whatever, gets a good grade on a test or something, they run up to whoever's around, wants them to make a big fuss over it, and then tape it to the refrigerator or stick it up there with a magnet. Well, that's my refrigerator. Any of my little animations or pictures or audio that I particularly like and want to share and have everybody make a big fuss over, I stick it up on my refrigerator. So as far as this podcast is concerned, what's the focus? What's it about? What are you going to concentrate on? What's the format? What shape is it going to take? You know what? I spent something like 4 months trying to figure that out. As a matter of fact, International Detective Dragons from Outer Space is the result of an extremely elaborate setup and storyline involving alien investigation, spaceships, 100 years ago, alternate characters, just the most exotic, bizarre, and labor-intensive setup you could think of for a podcast. I even did an introductory episode that way. Maybe one of these installments I'll go ahead and put that up as a supplement, but for the amount of time it would take to proceed with a podcast using that kind of scenario, I'd only be able to put one out every month, if that. So I'm not going to do it that way. It's just going to be yet another lone voice out there in the digital wilderness, hopefully in the future interacting with other voices out there so that it's not quite such a wilderness. But what I would like to accomplish is what is not accomplished in the rest of the media, which I think is one of the driving forces behind podcasting to begin with. Whether you've got regular network television or just regular local radio, or even cable, I imagine one of the reasons you're listening to this is because it's such a barren wasteland, an empty medium, a wasted medium, that deals with nothing in particular and just presents a whole bunch of inoffensive eye candy. Or offensive eye candy. I suppose it depends on what shows you watch on television. I don't actually watch a lot of television. I watch almost no television. But I don't think you'll very often tune in to the nightly news or to television in general and see anything dealt with that's really and truly important, either to you individually or to the entire human race. As a matter of fact, it seems that the most important questions are avoided entirely because it might offend the sponsors. Now, production values are all well and good. I have every intention of improving mine. This first installment is being recorded on my lunch hour. I'm not in traffic. I am not recording while driving. It may sound like that, but I'm actually outside the building where I work. It's my lunch break, and the audio quality, sadly, is going to suffer for that. There'll be other installments where I'm recording with a tube amplifier and a Shure SM58 microphone going into a M-Audio Delta audio card, because that's what I have. So there'll be good and bad audio quality, hopefully more good than bad. I'll strive for the good. Bumper music, transitional stuff. Sure, I'll throw that in. But I don't feel compelled to do so. I do enjoy it when other podcasts do it. I think we've become acclimated to expect that type of thing when we're listening to audio in all its forms, particularly when we're being spoken to, or at, or next to, and it does add to the richness of the listening experience. But I won't feel compelled to do so. I won't feel compelled to copy the mass media because I don't have to. The mass media does it because it's part of their formula. Other podcasters do it because it improves the production quality of their podcasts and because they want to, because it's fun. And that's very likely what I'll do. So what's going to drive this particular series of audio offerings? Well, I'm hoping that serious questions about serious issues, whether they're political, social, psychological, metaphysical, and even cosmic, can be dealt with, and I can only use as a springboard for that particular vast array and broad blanket of subject matter. I can only use as a springboard my own ignorance, my own confusion, on occasion my own sense of helplessness, on other occasions my own sense of self-enlightenment, and using that I'll be asking questions. And what I'm hoping is that you will ask questions too, that you will write in and provide answers. Or speculation, or more questions. Because quite a bit of what this is going to be, just so that it's not me going on for however long I feel I need to about anything in particular, getting feedback from you will fuel the rest of the installments. Now, if you get in on the ground floor, obviously, you're far more likely to have your input read aloud and speculated on in future installments. This being the very first one, of course, I've got nothing. Nothing but questions. I had a hefty list of them, but I go from a very basic perspective, and the perspective is that of a lone individual just looking at what's in front of him. There'll be an occasional rant, I imagine. I'm going to go off on tangents like a bucket of Super Balls tipped out onto the street in San Francisco. Watch them all bounce downhill and go in any direction they want. I won't feel compelled to stay on topic. I have a page set up that is a direct tie-in to the podcast, much like everyone else. It's accessible at www.adam5.com/IDDFOS. That's ID as in David, D as in David, F as in Frank, O, S as in Sam. That's www.adam5.com/IDDFOS. And there I'll post images, show notes, and links to podcasts that I like to listen to. I haven't got one recorded yet, but I will. A promo for this particular podcast that anyone can download. And I will be playing promos for other podcasts, because I think that's a good and useful thing to do. It's helped me find others that I've enjoyed listening to. And I will post links from listeners when their particular subject matter or link is relevant to what's being spoken about, much like other podcasts. There will be unique weekly features. What they are yet, I'm not positive. I don't know. As I said at the beginning, the toughest part is just getting started. It has to start with something. International Detective Dragons from Outer Space is going to start with this. And I thank you again for listening. You'll next note a distinct change in audio because I'm going to hit stop and continue this during my drive on the way home. Okay, now I'm recording while driving. I don't recommend this. I'm not sure which is worse. Having such absolutely awful audio in the very first installment of International Detective Dragons from Outer Space, or suddenly becoming so completely bankrupt of words. I'm sure you've had the experience, you must have, on many occasions. I imagine as time goes by and more episodes get posted, I could go back and listen to this and think to myself, oh, this is what I could have said. Or I could think of all the different things that I wanted to talk about for the past 4 months or so, which, of course, completely elude me now, and think, why didn't I ask that or talk about that? Well, let me just grasp at those little straws, because they'll come back to me from 1 minute to the next. And I'll simply mention at this point that if you are downloading these podcasts and you find that it's months and months beyond the time that this was recorded, which, by the way, is April 27th, 2006, but if you're listening to this just as a sampler and you hear within the next couple of minutes a subject, a topic, a question that you think you have the perfect answer to, or you believe you have some insight that should be shared with others regarding it, email it in. And that email address is anim5@anim5.com. It doesn't matter how much time has passed, these questions aren't going to be answered, and they're not likely to be completely and fully discussed because they're just too broad. I keep alluding to these things. I keep alluding to these vast, cosmic, really, really important things to talk about in a podcast that the media won't touch. Well, let's have an example there, Anum. Question. Do you believe that the human race is a natural part of the Earth and belongs here? perhaps as a variation of that. Do you believe that the human race began as a natural part of the earth and mutated into something, a species, that does not belong here? This is a question that can be discussed on a dozen different levels, some treating evolution, some treating genetics, some treating intelligence and environment, some treating the Bible, some treating theology in general. You can talk about any or all of them, but that's something that I've pondered, and I'm sure you must have pondered at length, on and off, throughout your life. Here's another one of those cosmic questions. Is there survival of will, personality, identity, and intelligence after the death of the body? One could simplify the question and say, is there life after death? But that just broadens it even further. This is very specific. This isn't, is there some vague, general wisp of who you were still in existence in some other form after the body has died? The question here is there survival of you? Here's a fun one. One that I've been thinking about for a while now. And again, as I say, you want to put in your 2 cents or your $5 and go ahead and email these responses in, they'll be read and discussed. Well, the good ones will anyway. It's not fair to say they're all going to be good. I'll have to be selective, I imagine, but there's a very, very, very good chance that it'll be read, particularly early on in the series. So, a fun one, or it could be considered a dark one. I'm going to imagine that anyone listening to this is familiar with the fantasy comic book character Superman and everything that Superman is capable of doing. Well, if not absolutely everything, then at least most of the powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men attributable to Superman. And the question is, what would you do if you had all of the powers and abilities of Superman, but none of the moral or ethical restraints? Right now, with a clap of thunder, you suddenly stand up and realize, I have all of the powers of Superman. I can do anything that Superman can do. Flight, X-ray vision, plowing through walls, diving through mountains, etc. Be anywhere on the planet within minutes or seconds, depending on which comic book you've read. What would you do with that power? This, of course, is a variation on, it's simply a variation on the three wishes question. What would you do with three wishes? And finally, to get the ball rolling, among all of these topics to discuss, finally, what is important? I've been saying I wanted this podcast, this series of audio installments, to deal with things that are important and not superficial. Difficult questions that go to the core of your existence and the existence of humanity on the planet. And so, sometimes the simplest questions are the hardest. What is important? And why? This is what is really important because, or here is a list of things that are really important, and this is why. Time passes like magic. Actually, only a few hours, really. I'm off to do the weekly shopping. Here's another little question. Have you experienced Or do you believe in a preordained convergence of events? Consistent, recurring. I can give you an example and then move on in the direction that I was originally moving. But first, let me give you an example. And this will include information about me, background. Who is Adam Five? It's not particularly important, really. The questions are far more important than who I am. But here's some background anyway. That audio cue is a clear indication that I smoke. Yes, I am foolish in that regard. So are quite a few other people. Addiction is a terrible thing. I'm 46 years old as of this recording. Not today, but right now. My background is theater. What does that mean, background? Well, it means I spent my adult money-earning life in the theater, one way or another, in some way, shape, or form. I'm a college graduate, big whoop. My degree is in speech theater and technical theater, combined majors, another big whoop. I'm currently, and have for the past 14 or so years, managing a warehouse that holds theatrical props and scenery, and it's in that regard that I'm going to talk about convergence, recurring cosmic convergence. Many places of employment have regularly scheduled break times. In the case of theater, particularly in a unionized location, you will have a coffee break and a lunch break. Now, when you're dealing with a place that builds and stores scenery, there's quite a few outside people, all any business really. There's outside people, whether they're delivery or pickup or visitor groups or individuals, that are going to come to your establishment for one reason or another. For many years, our break time, our coffee break time, was set for 10 o'clock in the morning, 10 a.m. And it was almost without fail, 99 out of 100 times, either a client, a scheduled delivery of materials, whether it's steel, lumber, or rented goods, or someone coming by to look over the inventory to see what they would like to rent, 99 times out of 100, they would arrive at the building when everyone is on break. That was when they were at 10 o'clock. The break then, after something like 6 or 7 years, was moved to 10:30. And what do you think happened? All those deliveries, all those pickups, and all those people weren't showing up at 10 o'clock like they did for 7 years. They showed up at 10:30. And of course, the same would occur at lunch. A consistent... Now, I'm not talking about just every once in a while, or it's so annoying when it happens that you think it happens all the time. No, it happens all the time. Very consistently. Very, very consistently. Eerily consistently. No time is set for an appointment except, stop by Thursday morning. You don't have to know when they're going to be by, because you don't have to guess when they're going to be by, because the delivery or the pickup or the visiting individual is going to be there between 10:30 and 10:45. You know it, and you are correct, because it always happens. That, of course, is the very minor, trivial, quirky example. But of course, there must be others, even if they are not recurring. Wild cosmic convergences of circumstances, the weather, fates, individual schedules that don't occur by accident, but simply must occur. And if you have experienced events like that, or have examples of historic events like that, I'd love to hear about it. I'm certain whatever you send in will certainly be
will certainly carry more gravity and be of a bit more importance than an interrupted coffee break.
So yes, I'm a 46-year-old warehouse manager who was born and raised in the state of New Jersey. Go ahead and send in the jokes. Contrary to popular opinion.
Yeah, go ahead, lady. Yeah, you go ahead. That's fine. You pull out of that driveway there. Contrary to popular opinion, we don't all talk like this, okay? That's a famous fallacy, and it ain't true. There are one or two people in the state of New Jersey that are not members of the family, if you know what I'm talking about.
And like in every other state, there are woods, there are camping areas, there's vast tracts of farmland. It's not all, as Robert Klein referred to it, square mileage of universal fart, as in the stretch along the turnpike near Elizabeth, New Jersey, and the airport. And I have a theater background, and we'll just leave it at that because who I am is not particularly important. I want what this podcast treats to be important, so naturally I will go into such earth-shattering subjects as who interrupts my coffee break.
I want to cover concepts like infinity, eternity, things beyond the scope of human understanding and experience. Not the questions I brought up earlier, but as I pressed the little button that said record, I found myself thinking, what is the point? Why are you doing this?
Is this audio something that's going to be saved and cherished and listened to by billions throughout the ages? Hardly. And if you ponder it long enough, neither is anything else that's ever been written. So when I return to this, because I've reached my destination, when I return to this, I'm going to go into the concept of forever and legend as it applies to human experience and accomplishment. And of course, if you have comments, observations, and feedback, send it in, and we'll cover it in podcasts to come. Back with you in a moment.
Okay. Here's one of them bouncy ball tangents I was talking about. This is too good. I may make this a regular feature because I'm sure I'm going to see new stuff every week. Stuff you see when you're out shopping. There I am at the checkout, and what do I see but a product on the shelf opposite me called Urin-Gon. I kid you not. A spray bottle and a brush. And right there on the front of the box, as seen on TV, Urin-Gon. Banish pet stains and embarrassing accidents forever. Cleans up in a jiff, no mess or smell, cheap at twice the price. Amazing. And then of course I turn around to start piling my items on the little black conveyor belt. I look up and I see Living Longer for Dummies. You can't make this stuff up. Anybody with an artistic bent, I shouldn't say bent, any listeners that are particularly talented and have a little bit of time on their hands, if you haven't seen the product Urin-Gon, what do you think of this as a very first International Detective Dragons from Outer Space contest? Design the box front packaging for a product called Urin-Gon. The winner of the contest wins. That's about all I can promise. You, of course, will have your name or nickname announced on the podcast, and your winning display of artwork posted to be a part of page one of IDDFOS forever. Can I segue or what?
Forever. Isn't that where I left off?
I think so.
I was going to talk about forever.
Eternity. In terms of the human experience.
From the human point of view,
from your personal point of view,
a mortal human being
going about their daily, mundane, yes, I am buckling it vehicle. You don't have to yell at me. You're a device.
I didn't want to wear it. I wouldn't, but I'm going to.
Going about your mundane tasks,
my mundane tasks.
It's all pretty mundane. Unless, of course, you're an international globe-trotting archaeological detective that works for MI5. Most of it's pretty mundane. You go to a place, or you stay where you are. You perform some task that is of some value to someone else so that you can get money to live. So thoughts like forever, eternity, they're concepts that are less real than taxes. Forever and eternity become less real than the concept of Republican, Democrat. So is eternity relative? Someone may be able to write in and refresh me on this, but it was one of the Huxleys, probably Aldous Huxley, not sure. But one of the Huxleys took the timeline of the existence of the Earth, as they then believed its age to be, I don't know how many billions of years, and laid it over as a spatial exercise, laid it over as a timeline, Cleopatra's Needle, which is a famous monument, I think, in the Middle East. Again, I'm ignorant on that. Someone refresh me. Which is a 90-foot tall obelisk, a 90-foot tall, thin... Essentially, I think it's the same shape as the Washington Monument. I could be wrong about that, too, but it's 90 feet tall. That's the important part. So one of these Huxleys took the timeline of the existence of the Earth, scaled it to the 90-foot height of Cleopatra's Needle, and from what they knew at the time he was writing, or believed, so far as how long human beings, or Homo sapiens, have existed on the planet, the portion of that needle, if you started at the bottom with a molten ball of burning goo, and the top of the needle being today, the amount of time the human race has been around turned out to be roughly the thickness of a postage stamp. And I don't know whether he meant seen on edge or widthwise. Over the distance of 90 feet, it almost doesn't matter, does it? Now, this is another subject that could be brought up and discussed. I'm wondering if maybe I'm going to get into things like Skype or audio and do some interviews. I'm not positive. I don't know yet. But certainly, if you have audio comments that want to deal with situations like forbidden archaeology, indicating we've been here far, far longer than anyone actually believes, according to conventional science, we could certainly talk about that too. But if you want to get on the boat with conventional consensus, and I'm willing to bet it isn't arbitrary, I'm willing to bet people have pretty good reasons for believing that the human race has only been around for about 500,000 years. And as far as the history of the Earth goes, we're an eye blink. I mean, the dinosaurs have it all over us. I believe the general agreed upon conclusion is they were here for something like 600 million years.
So when I hear concepts like, this man is a legend in the golf community, or this particular historical figure, Alexander the Great, changed the face of the world forever, or I see these little hearts carved in trees. Does anybody do that anymore? Anybody carve hearts and boyfriend, girlfriend names in trees anymore? I think you can get fined pretty heavily for that now, can't you? But if you see something like that, Joey and Trisha, forever. Apologies to all the Joeys and Trishas out there, just the first two names that popped into my mind. Forever. Or at least if they manage to stay together. And they're 20. Or 15. And they both live very long lives. Then maybe the next 60 or 70 years. Which, cosmically, is an eye blink. Measured against the universe, not even a second. Now, this can become a very debilitating line of thought, as you probably have guessed, or have experienced yourself if you've contemplated it for any serious amount of time or into any serious depth, because it brings up the whole question of futility and purpose. It basically begs the question, why bother doing anything except remaining alive because you're too scared to die? Why bother embarking on novel writing or picture painting or disease fighting or science investigating or moon landing if absolutely every one of your endeavors and all the other endeavors of the human race are going to end in dust? There are things that we hope are true that most people don't get first-hand evidence of. Most people. Some people apparently do. But there are things that we hope are true, like life after death. But there's one thing I find very appealing as a hope, and that is that the record of everything everyone ever did exists, even if it's just the ability of some beings or intelligences of an immortal and eternal scope, hopefully us, able to visit the actual occurrences along the timeline. And there's a visual that comes to mind in a film I saw a while ago. You may have seen it too. A film called What Dreams May Come. And one of the scenes in it was a library that looked rather infinite. It was certainly huge. And there were hundreds of thousands of people floating about near it, near the shelves, with billions upon billions of books on those shelves, which could have been on any subject matter, anyone's life, the thought record of possibly even other intelligences beyond humanity, in multiple universes. That library, and an eternity in which to read everything that's in it, being an immortal being floating in the infinite, and paying attention to an infinite number of books, one would guess that you would not have to take bathroom breaks. There's a plus. I found that appealing. Then again, to some people out there listening to this, that would constitute their version of hell, because they're not much into reading. Although, if you've listened to this podcast up to this point, I'm going to guess that you've got more patience than that. Well, I'm at my second destination because I shop in multiple places.
and it's time for another pause. Is it time for another tangent?
You bet.
Well, I'm done at my second location. I didn't see anything stupid in there. Actually, I probably did, but I'm so desensitized to that type of thing that it probably went right past my senses. Certainly nothing as stupid as living longer for dummies or urine gone. Then again, it can be successfully and correctly argued that I am stupid for smoking. So who the hell am I to cast aspersions and pour contempt on a simple little product that serves a very useful purpose? I mean, if I had cat, dog, or, God forbid, human urine in my vicinity and I wanted it gone, and chances are I certainly would want it gone, weeks, months, or years from now, I may look back on today and think to myself, Adam, you're an idiot. You made fun of urine gone. And now you need it. How does that make you feel? As a matter of fact, I'm keeping my voice down because I'm out in public. Now, I'm getting in my car, which, as everyone knows, means you're isolated and can do anything. You're suddenly no longer a human being, you're a vehicle. So you can jump to the head of the line and cut people off. It's not you doing it. Ooh, I do hate that. But anyway, what gives me the right to talk about anything? I'm just some guy from New Jersey. Some 46-year-old guy from New Jersey.
What gives you the unmitigated gall to think that you can comment upon anything? Cigarette-smoking loon, living longer for dummies. I say, hear, hear, hear. Spread the word, spread the knowledge. Longevity is a blessing. For you to turn your nose up at it, it's a foolish gesture. And you are to be derided for it, sir. You've got a nerve.
I don't know what gives me the right to talk about anything. I don't know. Same right as everybody else. Or is there such a thing as a right to talk? Well, we communicate. Might as well talk. I mean, we're in a unique situation here.
This is a very interesting situation.
Where you can go ahead and put your thoughts down on MP3. You used to do it on paper. Then you used to do it on reel-to-reel tape. Put your thoughts down, and now suddenly it's not just your Aunt Tilly that you can send a cassette to. It's an information transfer system that spans the globe, enabling millions upon millions of people to hear your thoughts. Do I think millions upon millions of people are going to hear my thoughts? Hardly. There's too much other, better competition out there, but I'm just wondering if it's a way to connect. I don't socialize. Neither does my wife. Neither one of us socialize. We're homebodies, practically hermits. And I don't know that I particularly miss socialization, but I can't see it as an unhealthy thing to strike up a dialogue, particularly if it's a dialogue about things that people believe are important, or that I believe are important. Like interrupted coffee breaks and a humorous box of piss cleaner. And so here we are. Now you're going to find interspersed throughout most of these audio installments, little original audio bits that I've done, just recorded, you'll be able to get at all of them in their solo form through anim5.com, www.anim5.com, through the audio stories link. But I'm going to play them here on my podcast because I can. I mean, I've made them available to other podcasts. I've even sent links around to other people, but quite frankly, I think they're too long for other people to play. They take up too much showtime. But in terms of length, I don't care how long I don't care how long a podcast is. CBS News has to care how long their broadcast is. American Idol has to care how long its show is. The mass mainstream media is run by the clock. Well, thanks to this new form of media, I don't have to be, and neither do you, as far as what you want to listen to. So I'm going to play my little audio bit. Some are commercials, some are stories. You might find them of entertainment value, or, as normal people say, you might find them entertaining, or not. I gotta tell you, I certainly hope I do get feedback, because other points of view are going to be needed here. Now, the next podcast isn't likely to have a lot of listener feedback, because there will not have been time to collect it, and the three or four people that actually hear this may not be inclined to send anything in. I say, now's your chance. If you're within the vicinity of, if you're within a four-week vicinity of this episode one, then you have an extremely high chance of getting your stuff read on the podcast. Because, as you know, it would be just the most incredible honor you could experience in your life to hear me reading your email on the digit. See, this medium is so new. People are still calling, using terms that apply to an entirely different, almost entirely different medium. Pure podcasts are being referred to as radio shows. People going about their podcast audio business are still referring to themselves as being on the air. I know I'm not on the air. I know this isn't radio. It can hardly be called a show. What am I showing you? I think the only reason that old-time radio referred to themselves as shows is because they were done, literally, in front of a live studio audience. That was a fact. Well, most of them were, anyway. Well, I'm at my third stop. Next time I switch on, I think it's going to be the wrap-up, and I do appreciate your listening all the way up to this point. I haven't had a whole hell of a lot to say of grand importance, except to say hello. And here we are at the beginning. I hope it's a long and very interesting journey. I hope you'll listen along with me. And here I am wrapping it up before I've even said I was going to. Let me stop, and we'll continue in a moment. In closing, wrapping it up, one or two more items that I think we can expect in upcoming podcasts will be features. One of which will be, what's bothering you? Is there anything really bothering you that you think is very likely bothering lots of other people too? Or maybe you don't think anyone else at all is bothered by it, except you. I think we'll have one of those once a week, too. We ought to. You should be able, in feedback, to talk about what's bothering you. I can tell you there's a lot of things bothering me, which I think is another reason why I'm putting these up on the World Wide Web for anyone to listen to. I'm bothered by what appears to be a retardation and stagnation of human progress
or advancement over the past 30 or 40 years, basically within my lifetime, that's resulted in a worldwide human condition which is unacceptable to me. I find it completely unacceptable that the group of individuals, large or small, who paint themselves as my government are behaving like crooks and murderers. It bothers me a lot that young men and women are being sent to the other side of the world to die, out in the open, in public, in the media, and in popular forums. The party line is that they are dying and risking their lives to protect our freedom. That bothers me because I think it's a lie. I believe that the young men and women in our military believe that they are risking their lives and performing a duty to protect our freedom, and that they have gone to great lengths to improve themselves, to improve their lives, and to endure intense physical hardships in order to put into practice the convictions and core beliefs that drive them. But I'm not all that sure how many of them are having all that easy a time buying the story put out by, again, the people that claim to be my government. It bothers me that at some point, I don't know when, maybe it was the late 40s, maybe it was the 50s, we stopped being the Federation and became the Klingons. Now, of course, I can't speak for all Americans. I can't even speak for all humans. I can't speak for all men. I only speak for myself. And I'm talking about what bothers me. And that's just one of the things. And I think it's important. How many people, how many rational, I'm not even saying super intelligent, just rational, sane human beings want to see other people killed? And if there are a whole lot of them, how do they justify that? How many people in America really want bombs being dropped on the other side of the world when all our so-called leadership can tell us is that we're at war with evil? I don't have a lot of patience for being lied to my face. I don't know anybody that does. How much patience do you have? And yet again, this is something that can be argued on dozens of different levels and raises one of those cosmic questions. And the question connected with this would be, will it always be like this? Is there always going to be a power-hungry, ignorant, greedy group of human beings in charge of everyone else? Warring tribes. Is it built into the human being? Is it built into the human animal? If that's the case, then we're doomed. Or have we been doomed before? Have we actually been here far longer than conventional scientific wisdom believes? Far, far longer. Have we reached this point? One of the themes, or I think the main theme, from a book called Canticle for Leibowitz, is that humanity keeps trying to recreate its Eden, and every time it fails, it kicks it apart in a self-destructive rage that takes the attempt and humanity with it into oblivion. I would so prefer that not to be the case. I hope you do too. There are solutions out there, and we'll be talking about those too. But for now, I think it's one final thank you for listening, and hope you'll listen to the rest. But you were here at the beginning. And if all goes well, you'll continue to join me in pondering some of these questions forever and ever and ever. Well, that's no good. I can't end with such a horrible curse. If all goes well, you'll have interesting things to think about and listen to without the jarring and insulting jingles of products being pushed in your face, scripts and performers that insult your intelligence, and talking news heads that lie to your face. Next week, I'll explain why the program is called International Detective Dragons from Outer Space, and we will come up with one question to ponder. For the installments thereafter, it will always be one question to ponder. And when I have the feedback, that will be incorporated too. Thank you again, and best of days.